Our scripture is from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Nicodemus is one of those ambiguous figures that we run across from time to time in our study of the Bible. There are things about him that reflect positively on him and those that do not. Reflecting positively is the fact that here is a Jewish leader who is seeking Jesus. He is open to being a continuous learner. He is curious, and he wants to see what Jesus is all about. But while that reflects positively on Nicodemus, the fact that he came to Jesus despite his position in the Jewish faith is muted by the fact of when he comes in the dead of night. This is no minor detail that the author of the Gospel of John is giving us either. Night, you will see throughout the Gospel of John, night and darkness represent separation from God. Nicodemus, a seeker of Jesus, but only under the cover of night, therefore becomes very, very ambiguous to us within less than two sentences of Scripture. But Nicodemus enters into conversation with Jesus, and any worry we might have about what his intentions are that evening, they lessen a little bit when we hear him identify Jesus as a teacher who has come from God. Now, when we hear what Nicodemus says to Jesus, we may hear that a little more strongly of an affirmation of who Nicodemus believes Jesus to be than what he really meant in that day and time. He was not identifying Jesus as the Son of God, but he is saying that he sees Jesus' works and his words as messages of God's. And you'll notice he is also confessing that it's not just Nicodemus who thinks this. It is more than himself, because he says, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God," not merely, "I know." I've said it before, and it bears repeating again. If we read the Gospels to say that all Jewish leaders and teachers were resistant to Jesus, we're missing something. We're failing to see them as individuals. So Nicodemus begins his conversation with Jesus, identifying who he and some in his circle believe Jesus to be. But unfortunately, he ties that understanding to the signs that Jesus has done. Jesus was gaining followers through these signs. That was not in doubt, and Nicodemus was not alone in this. But Jesus is clear that a faith like this is tenuous and shaky. Someone who depends on signs for their faith will continue to need signs to continue in faith. Jesus then speaks. He teaches, in fact. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now, what we heard this morning is the New Revised Standard Version, the translation of the Bible. And if you look in one of those versions of the Bible, you'll likely see a little footnote right there next to where it says from above that will say in the footnote, or born anew. Translating into English, this particular Greek word requires choosing between two meanings, anew or from above, while in fact, the fullness of what Jesus is communicating is that one must be born anew from above. Not just born anew, not just born from above. Jesus is talking about a timing of birth, anew, and the place from which that birth takes place, from above. But based on Nicodemus's reaction to Jesus, it's clear that he, like our Bible translators, chose how to interpret what Jesus was saying by choosing one meaning instead of hearing the full intended meaning of Jesus. Nicodemus hasn't even read his footnote. He quickly challenges what Jesus said by saying, basically, that is impossible, to be born anew. It seems that Nicodemus knows what is and is not possible. He knows what is and is not possible in earthly terms, and he's not thinking in heavenly terms. So Jesus tries again. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born by water and spirit. Now we hear those words today, and we think of words that we hear during Christian baptisms, water and spirit. But Nicodemus would not have had that context. Jesus wouldn't have been speaking in that context. Jesus is trying to explain the born anew from above idea that he had just introduced. Nicodemus had mentioned that it was impossible to come forth from the waters of the womb again. So Jesus is acknowledging that there will be two births, one from the waters of the womb, but a second, a spiritual birth, a rebirth. And after Jesus gives Nicodemus this explanation, he warns him, do not resist what you hear like you did the first time. Don't be so quick to call it impossible. He says, do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born again from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This little interlude here is more than just a metaphor for how the Spirit works. You'll find more footnotes in your Bible, likely. Footnotes that tell us that this word wind is the same as the word for spirit. This double meaning word is conveying powerfully that God's Spirit moves where it wants, not where humans think. We can sense it, but we cannot know where it is going or where it came from. Jesus seems to be saying, Nicodemus, you said that you did not understand how you could be born again from above. That is because this spiritual rebirth is of God, not humans. You can sense it, but you might not fully understand it, and you certainly can't control it. But don't let that surprise or astonish you. This is God we're talking about. Unfortunately, Nicodemus is astonished and says so again. How is this possible for these things to happen? He says. This learned man of God seems to not know God at all. You see, he's put God in this neat little box of his own design, one that he understands, constrained by those parameters, and he's not willing to let him out. You can hear Jesus' disappointment in his response back. Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? We will see Nicodemus two more times in the Gospel of John, including once near the very, very end. Nicodemus appears after Jesus' death to help take his body away for burial. He comes then, not under cover of night, and he brings with him nearly 100 pounds of burial spices. Now, many see this last image of Nicodemus as a redeeming one. I always have. But something I read this week made me kind of question that reading. Professor Caroline Lewis writes, "He brings an extraordinary quantity of burial spices for the preparation of the body. Does this last appearance of Nicodemus finally represent his coming to the light? Or is he still in the dark? Weighing down Jesus' body with spices so there will be no doubt that Jesus will remain in the tomb." When we read about Nicodemus and his misunderstanding of what Jesus was offering, we long for closure for this ambiguous figure because he looks not unlike us as we seek and listen and understand imperfectly. When we read about Nicodemus and how confident he was in his own understanding of what was possible and what was not, we want him to find salvation there at the foot of the cross, just like we seek ours there as well. For us to find and claim and live into this spiritual rebirth, we must be open to the impossible. And we must move through our lives confident in it. As Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Believe it. Be changed by it. Live it. That is how we see the kingdom of God. And that is how others will come to see it as well. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we often come to you in the night and we listen to you imperfectly and we are not open to all that you say that you are and all that you say you have done. We want as humans to understand everything. To have it all mapped out, to have it nice and neat. But Lord, when we do that, we are missing the awesomeness of you. So Lord, help us to be able to sink into all that you are, especially that we don't understand. For that is where you are a God worthy of our worship and praise. And that is where our hope is found. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.